Appreciate that. The meals have been great. We really appreciate the women's been doing all the cooking. I'm glad there's no scales in the house that we're in, because I see all the weight that I have gained. Amen. You know, Idi Amin was the dictator of Uganda many years before we were there, and of course he was ousted. But he went to, of course, they're under the United Kingdom, and he went to England to meet the Queen, and they had a big meal there. And he said, Queenie, you've enoughed me. He says, when you come to Uganda, I will retaliate. So we appreciate, thank you for the food, amen. You know, let me say something else before I begin to preach here. You know, I think we all have spiritual giants in our lives, and I think the number one giant should be our pastor. Your pastor needs to be your greatest spiritual giant. The one you look up to needs to be your pastor, amen. My first spiritual giant is my pastor, Dr. Mike Allison, and I appreciate him, and it's because he follows the Word of God. He follows God. Jesus said, Paul said, be ye followers of me as I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And, you know, he is my number one spiritual giant, but my number two is Brother Tony Stark. He was my pastor before Pastor Allison, and I had that privilege to be under him, to be taught, and then to work with him there in Uganda. And I just think we all give him a good hand. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 tonight. And I want to begin reading here in verse 27. In John chapter 4 and verse 27, here the Word of God says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you're entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, I just pray and ask that you would just hide me behind the cross of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that those in the sound of my voice would not hear from me, but might hear from the God of heaven and earth. Father, I just pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Father, we just pray that we might take these truths and apply them to our hearts and lives, and that you would have the honor and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember Brother Tony was talking to someone else, and they were talking about the harvesting of the cotton last year, which was taking place about this time of the year, but in this year it got done way before this time, back in December. And you know, harvest, when somebody looks at their harvest, they look to that time when they can bring that harvest in and get it harvested. And as a young boy, I lived on a farm, and I was glad when fall came, when all the crops were brought in and everything was accomplished, because I wouldn't have to work as hard through the winter. Still, I had to bring in, you know, we used firewood, we had to cut wood and bring that in. And but yet the harvesting was done. And you know, many times we think about that, and you know, we can rest throughout the winter months and not have to do too much, but yet we forget there's another harvest taking place around us, and that is that spiritual harvesting of souls. And we need to be reminded there's that harvest that's taking place all the time throughout all the 12 months of the year. There's souls that needing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's souls dying and going into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to go out into the world and tell them. We need to send missionaries around the world. Yet we need to send people around the United States of America, across Tennessee, to take the gospel to them, because they will die and perish one day if they don't hear of that one that died for them, that was buried and rose again. We need to realize that there is a spiritual harvest. I want to share with you tonight that hunger for the harvest, how we need to be hungry for the harvest. And you know, we see here that Jesus said here that he had to go to a certain place. There in verse 4, Jesus said, he must needs go through Samaria. And look at verse 27. In verse 27, the word of God, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Here, they had to go through Samaria. Samaria was an area where the Jews would not go through. There was Jews that had intermarried with the Gentiles, and they were treated like dogs. They were animals. They didn't want to do anything with them. They would avoid going through Samaria. They would go the very far, long way around Samaria to get to the northern part of Samaria, and they just avoided them. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Let me ask you tonight, what areas around here is there that you won't go through? But yet Jesus says, I must needs go through there. Because why? There are souls that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember where I lived north of Syracuse, and everybody would say, never go on the south side of Syracuse. If you go on the south side of Syracuse, you'll lose your tires, you'll lose your car. I mean, they'll just rob you blind. They'll take everything, they said. But people need to realize those people needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of people in the world today, and we will, you know, say, man, how bad they are, how sinners they are, but do we realize that they need the gospel also? They need to know that there's a Savior that died for them and was buried and rose again. We see there that without the gospel and going with the gospel, they will die and go to hell. Live in eternity to that place called hell. And we see there the woman left this place that she was at to go to the men there in the city. In verse 28, the word of God says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And we see there also there that in verse 29 and 28, she says in 29, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Hey, they were looking for someone. They were looking for the Christ, amen. And she goes to them, is not this the one we've been looking for? Let me say tonight, there's people out here in the world and around us, those that we bump elbows with, those that we see, they're looking for something that will satisfy them. Why is it that everybody's on drugs? Why is it that everybody's on alcohol? And everything else that there may come around, because they're looking for something that will satisfy their soul. And the only thing that can satisfy their soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking. They were looking for someone. They were looking for the Christ. And here this woman, she comes to them and says, is not this the Christ? You know, we need to take the gospel to the lost and dying world that they would say, hey, this is the Christ. This is the one that I need. Amen. We see also the disciples there in verse 31. It says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. You see, the disciples had went into the town and they didn't tell anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there at Jacob's well and they never told a soul about, hey, the Lord is at Jacob's well. The Messiah, the sent one of God, is among us. Why don't you come out and see him? No, they didn't say a word. How about you and I? When we go into a grocery store or go to a place where we're going to get clothes or wherever, and we see the souls there and people there, we don't say a word to them, only to purchase something that we might need. Concerning about our needs, that's all the disciples was concerned about. Their physical needs, buying of food. They said, asked the Lord there, told the Lord there, saying, Master, eat. You know, that's the way most time we're concerned more about ourselves instead of other people. The Bible says that Jesus saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted and they were scattered abroad. Had no one to guide them, to direct them in the way of God. And so there the disciples, you know, they ignored that fact that Jesus was there amongst them and they never said a word. And many times we do the same thing, thinking that we don't have enough time. You know, we ought to have a track and give them a track, amen. At least they can have something that they can look at that and see that and maybe put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I remember when we were in Uganda and we would pass tracks out the window, throw them out the window to people, and they would catch them before they ever hit the ground. And of course, many of them would get saved and they would write to the church and want more a Bible or more or ask someone to come and preach in their village. People need to hear the gospel. They're looking for something, but yet we do not do what's important, and that is to take it to them. We see there that Jesus was more hunger for souls instead of a physical harvest, amen. A spiritual harvesting of souls and seeing people come to him in knowledge of the true and living God, amen. Jesus was concerned about that. He says in verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. He came not to do his will, but to do the will of the Father there in heaven. Here he left glory, left heaven to come to this earth to die an agonizing death there on that cross of Calvary. And we see many times we do nothing. We leave the church Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, and we're just like the rest of the world. You know, I was wondering, I made a comment earlier today, why is not the Independent Baptist Church the largest church there is in any town? It ought to be, but it's not, because we neglect doing what God has commanded us to do and take the gospel to a lost and dying world. We who have the Word of God, the truth, amen. Hey, God's the one that said he will build the church. God's the one who does the saving, amen. I can't save one soul. You can't save one soul, but God can, amen. There's people in Linden, Tennessee, Perry County, that told me that there's a couple of men, they said they'll never get saved. Man, they're hard. But I prayed and asked God to save their souls, that God would do a work in their hearts and lives, amen. I gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. I told him that he needed to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The destiny that he had was either heaven or hell. And, you know, he realized that, hey, he didn't want to go to hell, amen. I had one man, he asked me, how bad is this place called hell? He didn't know how bad this place was. And then afterwards, after he'd gotten saved, and he told his family that he'd gotten saved, and he told somebody else from the church there, and he says, that preacher really lets him have it, let's say it like it is. No, I just gave him the truth. He needed to know what destiny he had, amen. You need to realize if you're here lost tonight, the destiny you have is either heaven or hell, amen. That lake of fire that burneth with brimstone forever and ever and ever. Need to put your faith and trust in the only one that can save you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus was concerned about souls and hungry for a spiritual harvest as you and I should be. Amen. You know, hunger for the harvest is a hunger for God's will. Amen. He says in verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, Islam says that Jesus didn't finish the work that he came to do. So Muhammad was the one to finish that. Amen. No, he wasn't the one to finish. Jesus finished it. Amen. He was there on that cross of Calvary and he said, "It is finished." All that was necessary to reconcile sinful man back to God was accomplished there on that cross of Calvary in the shed blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was finished, amen. You know, we need to do God's will. It's not my will, it's His will, amen. Hey, I did not want to go to Pennsylvania to start that church because I knew what the North was like. I knew they wouldn't do what God said, but God changed me. And he's the one that built the church, amen. I give it to the glory of God. I didn't want to go to Linden. It was just a small town. You know, I'd never get out of there. I thought I'd be there the rest of my life. Who was going to come to Linden? Nobody else wanted to go there. But that God said, go there. It wasn't my will. It was his will, amen. And God built a church. God built a church, amen. He sent someone to take that work over. It was God leading and directing in that, bringing that pastor to come there and them to fall in love with him and he fall in love with the church. God will build his church, amen. We just got to allow him to. We got to get out of the way and just do what he says, amen. He will do the rest. He will do the saving. You know, in Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." You know, first off, his will is to save you. He wants all to be saved. He doesn't desire any to perish, but all come to repentance and knowledge of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, God's will is to send you. He wants to send us out into the world in which we live, amen. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, I can't go to the foreign world. No, just go to the world in which you live. You live in a world which your pastor will never have a contact with. Your pastor has a world in which he lives that you will never have contact with unless they come to church. I have a world in which I live that I have contact with people that no one else will have contact with. I'm to take the gospel to them. You're commanded to take the gospel to them. Amen. Be burdened for them. Hunger to do what God's will is. We see there in John 20:21, he says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Hey, he doesn't save us just to get saved to go to heaven. He saves us to serve him, amen. And, you know, we just need to be obedient and do as he's called us to do. We see also their hunger for the harvest because there is a work to finish, amen. There in verse 35, he says, "Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." You know, we look out on a harvest and say, oh, well, you know, it'll be ready in about a couple of months or 4 months or whatever. And Jesus says there, he said, "Look not, say not ye there yet 4 months." Hey, there's a harvesting of souls right now, amen. There's people out there that need the gospel. There's people out there waiting to be told, amen. They want to hear. They need to hear, amen. In Jeremiah 8:20, the word of God says, "The harvest is past and the summer is ended and we are not saved." Man, what a sad story. Harvesting is over. Can you imagine the harvesting of souls and it's over? And you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ came tonight, what about the souls that are lost? What about your family members, your neighbors? You know they're lost. Too late. It's too late. The harvest is over and they're not lost. What a sad story for you and I when we haven't told them. We haven't went out and pleaded and just pleaded. And to God that he would save them. Well, how's he going to save them? But he's going to have to send us. We got to go, amen. And there's still a work to finish, amen. And, you know, even as we have a physical harvest, you know, the harvest is ended, but yeah, there's come spring, there's still work to do. There's work to be done, amen. And, you know, there's that spiritual harvest. There's always that work to do. The work is not finished, amen. You know, the work will be finished when that last soul gets saved and God tells his Son, go bring the church home. It'll be done. It'll be finished, amen. And, you know, we just got to keep working until that time comes. You know, it's not his work, it's not our work, but it's his work, amen. And, you know, we're just laborers in his field. I'm just his labor, amen. You know, I'm looking forward to stand before the Lord and have him say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant, amen. Hey, he's called us to be servants, amen, just to serve him. Are you serving him tonight? If he was to come tonight, you stand before the Lord, what would you say? Have you done what he has said? Have you done his will? Have you went out into his harvest? Harvesting of souls. We need to be faithful in doing as he's called us to go. Ephesians chapter 2 and 10, the apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hey, we're going to be a light in this world. We're going to be salt in this world. Hey, we're going to have to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Otherwise, they'll die in hell one day. It'd be too late. We need to go. We need to take that to them. There in John 14, 12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. See, so Jesus says there that the works that he does, you will do greater works. Greater works, amen. He wants, you know, God wants us to do great works, but he also wants us to do greater works. And Jesus says there, because he goeth to the Father. Why? How can you and I do greater works than the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let me say, Jesus was only here 3 to 3.5 years. How long will you be here? Certainly greater than that. And you have a greater opportunity to reach more souls than he reached, amen. That's why he said you do greater works. Because we've got more opportunities. We're going to be able to last a lot longer, amen. Sometimes, you know, some Christians are prematurely are taken to heaven because their life isn't what God wants them to be. And, you know, you get into sin, you go away from God, what God says, he just takes you on home. That his name might be honored and glorified. You know, that his name might not be blasphemed, amen. And we need to realize, hey, we got a job to do. We got work to do, amen. That it might bring honor and glory to him. You know, the hunger for the harvest. Hunger for the harvest because the harvest is ready, amen. Look at verse 35. He says, say not ye are there yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, what he's talking about is wheat here, I believe. And wheat, if you allow it to get to that point where it's turning white, it's almost where it's getting ready to turn and going to be rotten. And it's useless. It's no good. It's too late. And what he was telling the disciples, it is getting too late. It is getting too late. He says, you know, you need to go out there, amen. And he says, then cometh harvest. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, he tells us to lift up our eyes, amen. And that means you and I, we're to lift up our eyes and look at the people. See the people, amen. See what their need. How do we know if they're going to heaven or hell? I remember going into I went to the hotel room and went to the counter there and got my key, pass card to get into my room. And so then I asked the woman there, let me ask you a question. And I says, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And she just had smiles on her face. She says, yes, I know I'm on my way to heaven. You know, most of us would praise the Lord. That's great. But let me ask you another question. I says, ma'am, what do you base that upon? What do you base that upon? She says, I do good things for good people. Good works. No, good works won't get you to heaven. And she's relying upon her good works that she does to get her to heaven. No, it's by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, amen. Hey, I could boast about my salvation. I can't boast. It's because of what God has done. Amen. And, you know, we need to realize, we need to look up our eyes. We need to look onto the fields. Amen. He says, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. Amen. You know, oftentimes we look on to the foreign fields and forget about America. America needs the gospel more today than it's ever needed it before. And, you know, we just need to look and open our eyes. That's why we're in the situation we're in today. That's why, you know, the foreign fields are in the situation they're in because of the corruption and stuff. We got so much corruption, we're no different than the third world countries now. Because we have neglected America. They need the gospel just as much as the foreign world does. You know, I happened to think the other night, I was thinking, and you know, what it would be like, I was thinking about all the land around where we were there, and I said, man, just think if we had that land down in Texas near the border. You could go down there and set up tents and have these people that are coming across the border stay in the tents. You get the government to pay you to have these tents to take care of these people. I mean, they pay them to do it anyway. You know, you could pay you. And then you could preach the gospel to them. Man, that's what they need is the gospel, amen. They need to be saved and then go back and take the gospel to their own people. You see, people, when they get on fire for the Lord and realize that the need that they have and where they have been saved, they take it back to their own people. And they're going to be more effective than you or I would be, amen. But we neglect that they need the gospel. America needs the gospel just like another country does. The world needs the gospel. We need to realize there's a harvest. It's ready. People are waiting for the gospel. But we see also their hunger for the harvest because there are wages for fruit. Look at verse 36. He says in verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye besowed no labor. Other men labored and you're entered into their labors. If you look at verse 38, first off, he says, I sent you to reap. Jesus sent them to reap. They went into town to buy food. You know, you realize they went into town to buy food. They had to get it to go. Hey, they weren't going to eat it there. You know, nobody asked, I wonder if anybody asked it, where are you taking this? No, because they couldn't have because nobody came with them. But it had to be to go, amen. And, you know, I don't like taking food to go normally because I don't like, you know, you buy burger or fries or whatever, you get home, the fries are all dried up, they're cold, and they just don't taste good at all. But they went in to buy food. But Jesus says, I sent you. Did he send them to buy food? No. He said, I sent you to reap that whereupon ye besowed no labor. He sent them to reap. How about the Lord sending you? Do you go to buy food or go to reap? What about the Holy Spirit when he speaks to you and says, talk to that man. Talk to that lady. They need something. They need the Word of God. He sends us. He sent them, but they didn't go and tell the people. They brought back food. You know, it says in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They didn't do what he said. He says, I sent you to reap that whereupon ye besowed no labor. Other men labored, and you're entered into their labors. Who told these people? Somebody told them. Who told them? The disciples never asked them. Who told them? You know who told them? If you go back into Matthew there, and Jesus called out his apostles, and he sent them out by twos, and the Bible says he sent them out where he also would go. He knew these people. Hey, he sent his apostles out, and he was going to go there too. That's why he knew of these people. They needed the gospel. You know, of course, Jesus knows all things. He knew their need, but they had already been there. The others had bestowed, where ye bestowed no labor, other men labored. Do you realize there's other people who have labored, who told other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can just go out there and reap from that? Because someone else has already sowed the seed, somebody else has already watered. We just reap from that. Hey, you know, people say, I'm not a soul winner. You don't have to be a soul winner. Just go and tell people. That's what the woman did. There's a man at Jacob's well that told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? We just got to go and tell them. She hadn't been saved very long. She wasn't only saved, but a short time. But she went into the town, and what happened? Many believed by what she said, but many doubted. They wanted to see for themselves. They went to Jacob's well. And it says there in verse 42, it says in verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Hey, they had no doubt in their mind that he was the Savior. You know, my friends, there's a lot of people tonight, Sunday morning, they're in church, and they believe that who they're worshiping is the true God. It's not. If they're not born again, they're worshiping the devil. Because there's only the devil or God. There's none else beside him. They don't know the true and living God. They only know what they've been told. They've been deceived. Hey, we have the truth. I know that I'm on my way to heaven because I know what God says in his book, in his Bible, the Word of God. There's people out there that don't have that. I mean, in America, right here in this town, they're being taught a complete lie that you can get to heaven by your works, that we're all going to heaven. That's what religion says. We're not all going to heaven. Only those who have faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have faith tonight? Man, if you don't, you need to settle it. He says, you know, we all have part of the harvest. He says there, herein is that saying, true, one soweth, another reapeth, and we all bear fruit from that. You know, God has sent us to reap. God sends, God saves, and we receive the fruit from that. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. We can receive the fruit from that. You know, what this world, I don't care to get anything from this world because I'm going to leave it all behind. But what I have in heaven, what I store up in heaven for where Jesus was souls, that's what's going to last for eternity. And that's what's going to last for you is souls in heaven, amen. And we need to realize there's a harvest. We need to be partakers of it, going. You know, one sows, one waters. And hey, it's all this, we all reap the same. There's no difference in that. The same blessing is the one that sows as the one that reaps, as the one that waters. We're all going to receive that. One day we're going to see heaven open and see the effect that we had upon supporting missionaries around the world because of what God did, the souls that were saved, amen. We're going to reap from that. But what are we reaping today? Are you reaping? You realize that there's a harvest out there? That there's souls that need the gospel of Jesus Christ? People that you see each and every day that you bump against that doesn't even know about the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a man when I was, after I gotten saved, I was doing electrical work, and I told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I witnessed to him. I tried to get him to get saved, and he was from a his parents were from a Southern Baptist church, and he didn't want to get saved. He didn't care. And so he decided that he was going to leave and move to Florida, and he told me before he left, he says, I want to tell you that I really appreciate you being concerned about me. I know that's not for me, but I want you to know I appreciate what you did trying to witness to me. He said, my parents were Baptist, you know, but I appreciate it. And then so he left and went to Florida. It was about 3 or 4 months later, he called my home, and he told my wife, he says, I want your husband to know that I had put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know he'd want to know that. See, someone else reaped from me sowing and telling him. Hey, I got blessings from that because I sowed the seed. You get the same blessing. You know, you can reap, you can sow, you can water, you can reap. But are we doing that? Are we realizing there's a harvest? That harvest, you know, is God's harvest. The harvesting of souls. You know, they're all around us. And many times we neglect them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, we thank you for the truths of your word. Father, I just pray your Holy Spirit would work in hearts. Father, I pray that you would bring that one maybe tonight that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Even tonight, they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would be with those. Lord, I pray that you convict hearts about the harvest that is before us, that you would work in their hearts, Lord. Lord, that they would yield themselves to you, that they would do as you send them, Lord. I pray that you'd have your perfect way in each heart and each life. Well, we ask it in Jesus' name. Pastor, you come.
Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you to stand if you're physically able tonight. Invitations for everyone tonight, but let me speak to two groups of people if I could. First of all, believers, let me ask the question, are we hungry for the harvest? And then secondly, friend, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, but in your heart you've seen that tonight, I don't know Christ, but I need him, then tonight you're ready for the harvest and you need to come. Let me say it this way, you're ready to be harvested and you need to come tonight and take my hand and say, Pastor, I'm not saved, but I need to be. If that's you tonight, would you come? Believer, are you hungry for the harvest? If that's you tonight, you need to come and pray, Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you help me to be sensitive to those fields that are white already to harvest? Father, help me not to be like the disciples who were more concerned about the meat than they were about the harvest. If you need to come tonight, I would ask you to come. Miss Pam's going to play tonight. This platform's open. These pews at the front are open if you need to come and pray. Maranatha Baptist Church, are we hungry for the harvest? Christ said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. The disciples were worried about the physical meat. Jesus, eat. Here's the meat. He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me. Let the lower lights be burning, the song says. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Amen, Brother Cook. Thank you so much for that tonight. Let's pray, and let's be dismissed tonight. I hope to see you back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Again, no Master Club at 6:30. We'll start right in here at 7 o'clock. And looking forward to the service tomorrow night. Brother Cook will be presenting tomorrow night. And then Pastor Stark, Lord willing, will be preaching tomorrow night. And we'll finish up the week tomorrow night. So I hope you'll be back and be encouraged. God has given us a commission. You ever think about that? We speak about missionaries. Why are they missionaries? Because they have a mission. Well, that's who we are too. They're no different. God has given us a mission. And it's the Great Commission. And God's given us a purpose and a work to do, a work to finish, as we saw even tonight. And we need to be busy about it. Amen. A lot of folks that we, as he used the word bump, that we bump into that other people will never bump into. And you'll be the very one that will be able to give them the gospel. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed tonight. Brother Mac Bain, would you dismiss us tonight, please, sir?